Logistic regression draws a boundary between two classes, but it does not have a strong opinion about which boundary. When two classes are cleanly separated, there are many lines that split them perfectly, some hugging one class, some hugging the other. They all get the training data right, yet some will generalize better than others. The support vector machine starts from a clear answer to which boundary and builds one of the most elegant classifiers in the field around it. Its answer: pick the boundary that sits as far as possible from both classes. Imagine the widest street you can pave between the two groups without touching either. The dividing line runs straight down the middle of that street. That is the maximum margin principle. And the intuition behind it is that a boundary with lots of room on both sides is less likely to misclassify new points that fall near the edge. The margin and the support vectors. The margin is the width of that street, the distance from the boundary to the nearest data points on each side. The support vector machine chooses the boundary that makes this margin as wide as possible. Here's the striking part. The street's width is pinned down by only a handful of points, the ones sitting right on its edges, closest to the boundary. Those points are the support vectors, and they are the only ones that matter. Move a point that is far from the boundary, and nothing changes. The street stays where it is. Move a support vector, and the whole boundary shifts. The model is defined entirely by its hardest, closest examples, which is both why it is memory efficient. It can forget everything except the support vectors, and where its name comes from. When the data overlaps, the soft margin. Real data is rarely separated by a clean gap. The two classes usually overlap a little, and demanding a perfect split, a hard margin, would be brittle or downright impossible. So support vector machines use a soft margin. They allow some points to sit inside the street, or even on the wrong side of the boundary, at a penalty. A tuning parameter, commonly called C, sets how much you tolerate. Allow more violations, and you get a wider, more forgiving street that ignores a few awkward points and tends to generalize better. Allow fewer, and you get a narrow street that bends to fit the training data closely, at the risk of overfitting. That dial between margin width and training errors is the bias variance trade-off again, which phase four makes precise. The kernel trick: straight boundaries that look curved. So far, the boundary is straight, which raises an obvious limit. What if the classes simply cannot be split by a line? Picture one class forming a ring around the other. No straight line will ever separate a circle from its center. The support vector machine's answer is the kernel trick, and it is genuinely clever. The idea: lift the data into a higher dimension where it can be separated by a flat boundary, draw the boundary there, and let it fold back into a curved boundary in the original space. The trick part is that you never actually compute the new high-dimensional coordinates. A kernel function computes the relationships you need directly as a shortcut, which keeps it fast even when the implied space is enormous. A tiny example makes it concrete. Put these points on a line. No single threshold on this line separates red from blue because red sits in the middle with blue on either side. Now add a second coordinate, each point's value squared. In this lifted 2D space, a simple horizontal line at a squared value of about 2.5 cleanly separates them. A straight cut in the higher dimension is a curved rule back on the original line: red if close to zero, blue if far. That is the whole kernel idea in miniature. Real kernels, like the polynomial and the radial basis function, RBF, do this lifting into far higher dimensions, which lets a support vector machine draw richly curved boundaries while still, underneath, just finding the widest straight street. Strengths, weaknesses, and a gotcha. Support vector machines are effective in high dimensions, even when you have more features than samples, and they are memory efficient because only the support vectors matter. With the right kernel, they handle non-linear boundaries gracefully. On the other side, they do not scale well to very large data sets. Training gets slow. they are sensitive to the choice of kernel and parameters. They are less interpretable than a single tree, and they do not naturally output probabilities. You need an extra calibration step for that. One practical gotcha worth flagging, because it bites people. Support vector machines are distance-based, so they are sensitive to the scale of your features. A feature measured in the thousands will swamp one measured in fractions unless you rescale them to comparable ranges first. Decision trees, from earlier in this phase, do not care about scale. Support vector machines very much do. Why this matters when you use AI? For years before deep learning took over, support vector machines were the state of the art on many classification problems, from text categorization to handwriting recognition. They are still an excellent choice for small to medium datasets with many features, exactly the regime where deep learning struggles for lack of data. And the kernel trick is one of those ideas worth carrying beyond this one model. The move of make a hard problem easy by lifting it into a space where it becomes linear recurs across machine learning and mathematics. The maximum margin principle also fed directly into the theory of why some models generalize better than others. Common pitfalls: forgetting to scale the features. Support vector machines measure distances, so unscaled features distort the margin. Rescale before training. This is not optional. Picking a kernel blindly. The RBF kernel is a common default, but the kernel and its parameters need tuning. The wrong choice can badly under or overfit. Expecting probabilities out of the box. A support vector machine gives a decision, not a calibrated probability, without extra work. Reaching for it on huge datasets. Training cost grows steeply with the number of examples. On very large data, other methods are usually faster. What you should remember: a support vector machine picks the maximum margin boundary, the one running down the middle of the widest street between the classes. Only the support vectors matter, the closest points on the edges of the street. The rest of the data could be deleted without changing the boundary. The soft margin tolerates some overlap, trading margin width against training errors, which is the bias variance dial. The kernel trick lifts data into a higher dimension, so a straight boundary there becomes a curved boundary in the original space. Letting the method separate classes align never could. That closes our tour of supervised learning. Across two phases, we have predicted numbers, linear regression, learned how models search, gradient descent, and classified by a probability, logistic regression, by questions, trees, by crowds and sequences, forests and boosting, and now by the widest margin. Every one of these needed labeled examples, data with the right answers attached. The next phase removes the labels entirely. When you have data but no answers, how do you find the structure hiding in it? That is unsupervised learning, and it begins with grouping similar things together, clustering.